morning, Buddhas. The founding master Sutte-san was in the prime Dharma master's room when a group curious about one Buddhism came to a visit. They bowed and asked, "Where is your esteemed religious Buddhas enshrined?" The founding master said, "Our Buddha has just gone out. So if you would like to see them, please wait a moment." Not understanding what he meant, the visitors were puzzled. A little later, when it was lunchtime, a group of workers, of course his disciples, returned from the field carrying their farm tools. The founding master pointed at them and said, "They are all the Buddhas of our house." The visitors were even more puzzled about what he meant. If the founding master, Sutte-san, were here and asked the same question in this Dharma hall at this moment, he might answer, "Those seated here are the Buddhas of our house." During the weekend retreat, all the retreat participants, have you ever encountered your Buddha within? Yes. Sutte-san refers to his disciples as a Buddha. Was that disciples indeed a Buddha who attained great enlightenment or not? It is necessary to understand what Sutte-san means by the term Buddha here. He was very practical and pragmatic person. So the reason Sutte-san could refer to his disciples returning from the farm field as a Buddha can be found in the very interesting story. I'm going to share that with you. While seeking enlightenment, Sutte-san observed people in the traditional Buddhist temple paying respect and making wishes to the in front of the Buddha statues, wondering if there was any significance to the Buddha statue. He struck the Buddha's cheek when no one was around. So returning home, he went to bed thinking he would be faced consequences for striking the statues. However, upon waking the next day, to find nothing had happened, he realized that Buddha's statue was not significant. This is a paradigm shift from considering the Buddha statue as a Buddha to the realize that each of us has the power to bestow blessings and inflict harms one another, brought about the profound transformation. Therefore, in this perspective, there's no being in the universe that is not a Buddha. Even the smallest insect has the power to bless or harm us. Therefore, there's no reason for the disciples who worked in the farm field to not be seen as the Buddhas in Sutte-san's eyes. Of course, the original meaning of the Buddha is an enlightened one who fully realized the truth of the universe. However, the undeniable fact is that we all beings have the same Buddha nature, whether one has fully realized the truth, partially realized it, or lived completely unaware. If we were to easily understand the concept of the Buddha nature, it is akin to the seed of the Buddha. Clearly, the seed holds the potentials to become a Buddha. Yet, it can remain as the seed forever until it sprout, grow, blossom into flower, and bears fruit. Therefore, nurturing our Buddha nature well is a crucial to truly become a Buddha who has realized the ultimate truth. Engaging practices such as meditation, listening to Dharma talks, and conversing with fellow practitioners are favorable conditions for the seed to grow. However, if we engage in such an intensive retreat for 3 days a year and neglect to take care of for our Buddha nature for the remaining 362 days, while better than nothing, better than doing nothing, significant transformation will be difficult to achieve. Because our Buddha nature is never absent for even a single moment, the essential dharmas of daily practice, which involves seeking and nurturing that Buddha, is the way for everyone or anyone to live as a living Buddha at all times and in all places. The essential dharmas of daily practice begins with this following phrase: the mind ground is originally free from disturbance. Therefore, the beginning of your daily practice starts with the recognize the mind that is originally free from disturbances. Have you ever experienced and understood this mind without disturbances? When I first began my practice, I couldn't distinguish between these disturbances and the mind without disturbances. I believe you may have this similar experience with me, such a moment. When there is a fan noisy in the room, and you may not even notice it until the fan suddenly stops. And you realize, oh, there's a fan was running. Our ego is always as noisy as a running fan, constantly creating all sort of stories and bubbling noises. One effective method to reduce the volume of this bubbling inner voice and bring it into a single sound is chanting meditation practice. Chanting meditation involves repeating the name of the Buddha or a designated phrase like "we are one, we are home," chanted last night, while concentrating wholeheartedly on the sound itself, thereby letting go of other distractions. When the ego, which was bubbling inside us, focuses on the sound of Buddha's name, it becomes calm. In that moment, the Buddha within is awakened. Traditionally, reciting the name of the Amita Buddha in Pure Land Buddhism was the way of calling upon the Amita Buddha, wishing to be born in the Western Pure Land after death. However, Sote-san taught us this chanting meditation practice to enlighten the Buddha of infinite light and life within all of us. Not only through this chanting meditation, but also through all the practice we have engaged in during this retreat, such as sitting meditation, walking meditation, moving meditation, and tea meditation, we can always experience and scattered mind becomes unified and tranquil when we focus it on single object. This is the starting point of living Buddha. Consequently, experience this moment of tranquility throughout life and make them as our default state is the key. We can continue to experience this Buddha moment through small actions in our lives. It is not difficult. If you set aside time every day for sitting meditation, that's the best, awesome. If it's not, even if not, as long as we can be fully present in this every moment, every moment of our lives, we can experience Buddha moment anytime. When you wake up in the morning, you can feel the pillow touching your head and the blankets covering you. Or when you drink a cup of tea, you can savor its aroma and taste. While brushing your teeth, you can feel the toothbrush touching your teeth and gum. Even now, if you gently close your mouth and gently close your eyes and focus on the breath as you breathe in and breathe out, you can feel the tranquility within. And the tranquil mind is your original Buddha nature. So remember, we have never been anything other than the Buddhas for even a single moment, as long as we do not forget about it. However, until we become fully enlightened Buddhas, we still cling to the delusions of self by drawing the boundary around me, which causes disturbances to arise from the tranquil mind. Like noisy fan that is always on, we may have become so much familiar with these disturbances in our mind. But as you build up the new connection more frequently with the mind free from the disturbances throughout the meditation practice, you will begin to observe disturbances more clearly than before. This is why some people claim that meditation makes their minds more troubled. But it's because they have confront mind they were previously unaware or unavoidable. However, if you do not encounter that disturbances, you will always perceive these disturbances as your original nature instead of your Buddha nature. To speak on uncomfortable truth, nothing that arises in your mind happens by chance. It's just because we have lived our lives by using our minds and body without any attention, unaware of the seed our sown in the field of our minds. When the sensory conditions is proper enough, the seeds that we sown will inevitably sprout into disturbances. The root of these disturbances is delusions. And when the delusions manifest as disturbances, it leads us to do unwholesome actions. These unwholesome actions then become seed for new disturbances in the future, perpetuating the cycle of endlessly. Then how do we eradicate these disturbances? Firstly, we need to cultivate the mind without disturbances so that we can clearly recognize disturbances. At this point, there's no need to resent or reject disturbances or feel disappointed, thinking, I must not be a Buddha. Instead, we should recognize the presence of disturbances, finding the delusion, which is the root of them, and then just pull out the root. If the root is pulled out, the weed cannot sprout seed again. I would like to introduce a situation happens in the lawn in my temple, which is parallel with the happens in our minds. I worked at the Washington Temple, and we have a spacious lawn. At this time of the year, the grass hasn't fully grown yet, and there are patches of the wild onion. Do you know wild onion looks like? Wild onion weeds popping up here and there. Normally, when the grass is thriving, this weed get mowed along with the grass. But now, only the weeds are growing, which doesn't look good. So, we've had this wild onion every year, but this year, they spread almost all over the lawn. So I was thinking, I should quickly mow down those weeds with lawnmower. But my head minister, Reverend Shim, suggested me us dig them out with the shoveling instead. So my mind became disturbed. It was because the timing with the wild onion coincided with the busy period when my mind was preoccupied due to the insufficient preparation for this Dharma talk. So, I had many thoughts about wanting to pretty well at the One Dharma Center. I'm going to give an awesome Dharma talk. But for the young people's retreat. So as the date for the retreat approached, my mind became overwhelmed with the presence of the performing pressure to performing well. So I could only feel tension and make it difficult to write the talk. In the situation where Dharma talk preparation was not properly done, and when the suggestion to weed the wild onion was made, resistance arose within me, thinking, no, now is not the time to weed the wild onion. I should write a Dharma talk. However, the weeding had begun with other ministers, so I have to come out, and I couldn't refrain from participating in the collective effort. So I went outside and started weeding the wild onions. Some of you know that to weed the wild onion with the shoveling, we have to dig the soil around them with the shovel, and then flip the soil over to pull out the weed underneath. So it was an easy task. But as we continued doing it step by step, I found it enjoyable, oddly, and felt the sense of unity with the work. As I simply pulled out the wild onion one by one, my worry about the Dharma talk also subsided. And before I knew it, one side of the lawn was clean without any wild onion. If I had just caught the wild onion growing on the top without removing the root, next year, even more wild onions would have spread, turning the lawn into the wild onion field. So realizing how foolish my thought and simply mowing them with lawnmower was made me feel ashamed. As the conflicts, the distractions disappeared, I realized that digging of wild onion was not just a work, but a daily practice. Through this daily practice of digging of wild onions, I discovered the principle of the mind practice, and I'm grateful to be able to share with this with you all today as my own experience. However, there are still many wild onions left. So after this retreat, I have to come back to the temple and dig it more. So for the Dharma friends from the Maryland, there's a great opportunity for practice. So come to the temple and pick up the wild onion together. Is there any volunteers? The founding master visited the temple ground himself at the Seoul temple and said, I had two reasons for visiting the temple ground today. One was to set an example to the temple managers always to pay close attention to neatness of the temple ground. The other way to demonstrate that when we do not examine our minds regularly, distracted thoughts will arise right before our eyes, just as will their weeds should not we neglect the temple ground for even a short while. By demonstrating that mind practice and the act of pulling weed have the same intent, I emphasize that you may assess your mind practice by pulling weeds and may pull weeds as the part of your practice so that you may keep clean both temple grounds and your mind practice. So that you may keep mind practice, I ask that you constantly bear in mind these two intents so that you may not neglect my original objective. In this way, by illuminating daily life through your mind practice, I come to realize that everything is grace. I can feel grateful. We usually feel grateful to things that we like, but we tend to reject or resent things that we don't like. However, through daily practice, whether good or bad, high or low, everything becomes an opportunity to awaken and nurture your inner Buddha, and thus become grace. Then I come to understand that the difficulties in my life is not the punishment, but rather manifestation of the compassion of the Buddha, guiding us to grow through these disturbances. If you can accept everything in your life as a grace, our existence will shine even more brightly with the Buddha's light. Then we can fully restore our original Buddha, who is one with the universe. Through constant practice like this, although everything in this universe has different names, it is not separate from each other. You come to realize that you are another version of me. Becoming a near Buddha with equanimity, wisdom, and compassion. Do you want to become a Buddha? Yes. Thank you, MJ. I would like to conclude this talk with the words of Master Sutisan. In response to his disciples' question about how to attain enlightenment. Do you know the answer? And he said, it's like feeding a goat. It's like feeding a goat. Rather than overfeeding it all at once, you carefully select the feeding process and quantity. Naturally, the goats grow big, give a birth to offspring, produce milk, and benefit people. There's no special or mysterious method to become a Buddha. There's no shortcuts. There's only the path of constant seeking, nurturing, and living as a Buddha through this practice in your daily life. Since you have already embarked on the path of becoming a Buddha through this retreat, do not step back and just let us just keep moving forward together. Thank you.